All right, guys, we're back. I told you we'd have a special guest. It is my dad. He wrote a book called Raising Giants. It is a memoir about raising two NFL sons who both achieved the ultimate dream job of playing professional sports. Welcome in, Lee Schwartz, first time, I believe, on the podcast. Excited to have you here with us.
Excited to be here. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. So I know you've been working on this for quite a while now. It's something you've wanted to do, I think, the entire time Mitch and I were playing football. Can you talk about kind of the genesis of this book and why it was important for you to write?
I had been thinking about it most of the time. I didn't want to do anything until both of you guys were out of the league because I knew that I might be saying things that might get some people in the NFL upset. So I waited for you guys to both graduate out of the NFL and then asked you your permission to be able to write it. And you both gave me the approval. I wanted to do it for several reasons. One, I thought it would be great for your kids and Mitchell's to know more about what their dad and uncles did during their professional career, especially given that Alex was born at a time when you were still playing, but he doesn't remember anything and doesn't understand it. So I wanted to be able to share that. And then there was that fan club broadcast list that I sent emails to for years, telling them what you guys were doing. And I thought they might like to know the whole story because they got snippets of it. And so those were the initial two reasons that I decided to write the book.
So as you start along this process, what maybe did you learn about our careers or our journeys that you really maybe not had thought or not remembered about that process?
Frankly, there wasn't much that I didn't remember through the process. The hardest chapter for me to write was the chapter on injuries, because it brought it all to the surface about how many injuries particularly you had and what you guys had to go through. In that regard,
the injury list for my brother is very short. I don't know. That was probably a very short chapter.
Well, it's incorporated into the one chapter.
Right.
I know I sent you the list of injuries, and the portion that I wrote about it to you to just validate that what I remembered was accurate, and it was. So that was, something that came to mind that I knew, but it was emphasized more in writing the book. The other thing about it, I would say, is that just the whole how much of a business it all is. You know, as fans, we look at football as a sport, but whether it be college, but more so in the professional ranks, it's a business, and how difficult decisions are made, and they're not made with any or little consideration to the feelings of the players. It's all what's best for the teams, whether it be financially or otherwise. And that, came to the surface as well as I was writing it.
One thing that, we've discussed over the years is, you come from the business world, right? You ran companies, and the NFL is a lot different than the business world. How difficult was that for you during our playing careers, that decisions were made, roster moves are made, contracts are just different than the way you or mom have ever done business?
It's true. And that was a struggle throughout the time. I mentioned in the book how it is different. If I signed a contract in the business world, that contract was firm unless something dramatically happened. In the NFL, not so the case, and especially that situation with you and the Giants. I'll never forget the day we were at the outlet stores in Carlsbad, and you came to us and said, "I just got a call from Derek, and the Giants want to renew or redo my contract." I was like, "What are you talking about? They signed a contract." But I learned through the process that contracts in the NFL aren't the same as contracts generally in the business world.
Let's go all the way back to maybe our high school days. Mitch and I didn't play football growing up. I played a little flag football, but we started playing in high school. Do you remember maybe the first time, because I went through the process first, that you realized like, oh, maybe Jeff can play college football?
Yeah, I do. And it wasn't so much what I knew, it's what others told me. Because back then, I didn't know much about the game of football. I didn't know what it took to get from high school to college and even beyond that. And so I do remember when your coaches started to come to us, particularly Coach Blatt. And remember, his uncle was on the team too as a coach. And they were the first ones. His uncle was the first one to say to me, you know, Jeffrey has a chance to get to the next level. And then Coach Blatt said so, and then Doric Roy said so. And so we started to believe because we had people who knew the game who were saying, he's got a real chance. And that was the first time I ever thought, well, this might be really possible. So I just relied on other people who were in the know to tell me.
What was the most surprising might be the wrong word to say, but what was the most unexpected thing of watching Mitch and I play college football?
Most unexpected
Like,
thing.
yeah, like was there something that you thought was going to be the case? It just wasn't. I mean, obviously, Mitch and I have very different careers in college football and in the NFL, but you watched, I think you went to every one of Mitch's games and you missed two of mine, I think. Two of mine, I think you missed.
I did miss two of yours. I missed the one because mom's partner in the law firm had an event here, and I
Right.
missed one your freshman year because you weren't going to be playing.
Well, I did play. Did I, you, the first one I played in, I don't, you, did you come to Washington State?
I did. You
It was
called me
before,
on
yeah.
Wednesday of that week and you said, Dad, I'm starting. And it was like, oh my God, can you get here? And
Yeah.
so I got to Pullman, Washington, you know,
Yeah,
3 days later.
I mean the college years were I think uneventful compared to the NFL years, where college football, obviously, there's a couple stories in the book about the religion and just sort of dealing with that, coming through football, which is a big part of it being Jewish, and just sort of the misunderstanding, I think, of the religion, and sort of living up to that Sandy Koufax, that's what everyone holds up, right? The Sandy
Right.
Koufax. How did you guide us, Mitch and I, about that? Because, in the Jewish community, everyone holds that on a pedestal, right? The Sandy Koufax didn't pitch game one of the World Series, but he also pitched three other games of the World Series. So he ended up making all his starts.
Right.
Mitch and I don't have the ability to really miss a game like that.
Right. And so that was always a struggle for me. And I think for you guys as well. I remember the time in college when you came to us and you said, I've got a game on Yom Kippur and I want to play, I want to fast and then play at night. And at that point in time, mom and I knew that, you know, that decision was ultimately yours, but we acted more as parents that day and said, no, that's not healthy for you. And so you've got to make a decision as to either you eat and play, or you don't eat and you don't play at night.
Yeah.
And you chose to play at night. And so you ate during the day. And then the other story that, well, the Sandy Koufax story, obviously, the funny part about that, which I wrote about in the book, is Don Drysdale pitched that first night. He was only the second best pitcher in the major leagues that year, not far behind Sandy. And he
Yeah.
had a horrible game. And Walt Alston walks out to the mound to take him out of the game. And the story goes, Drysdale said to Alston, well, I bet you wish I was Jewish.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Yes. And then Sandy did pitch three more games and the Dodgers won. And so there
Yeah.
wasn't anything about his missing the game that harmed him. Whereas, as I explain in the book, and to me, you guys had difficult decisions to make. The way the NFL operates, you didn't have the cachet of Sandy Koufax, you or Mitchell. And so if you missed a game, your livelihood was subject to change because they may see that you're not committed to
Yeah.
the team and may not then play you the next week, or you may lose your starting position. So we understood about how you handled the religious holidays. Of course, there was that one story about the rabbi. I don't know if you remember that.
Well, he sent a letter to the, I think, like a New York Post or something, or the Giants. When I was playing for the Giants, he got
Yeah,
really
you were playing
upset.
for the Giants. He got really upset. He said he was crestfallen that you would not that you would play. And then he suggested that honey and apples, which are used on the religious holidays, are sent in to help celebrate the holiday in your locker room. And I ultimately got in touch with him and said, "You realize that Tom Coughlin's not going to be bringing in apples and honey to celebrate a Jewish holiday just
No,
for Jeffrey
no,
Schwartz, even though the
no,
team's
yeah.
owned by a Jew."
I mean, it's look, the religion thing is, I've said this many times, it never bothered me. I definitely got weird questions and coaches didn't understand, especially early in my time at Oregon, but the NFL was fine, man. I mean, we all come from different walks of lives. We all believe in different things, and you make it work. And I never felt there was any sort of anti-Semitism or any sort of that, in that way. Because you're right. I mean, the NFL owners like half are Jewish, so it never really I never felt that way. So Mitch and I obviously had very different NFL careers. I was hurt a bunch. Mitch wasn't. He was all pro. I certainly was not. He won a Super Bowl. I did not win a Super Bowl. So you sort of seen it all. When it comes to what the National Football League can be for your kids, maybe what was the best part and maybe the toughest part of watching your kids play NFL football?
Well, let me start with the toughest part, which I already alluded to, the injuries. That was just so difficult to see. I don't know if I ever shared this with you directly, but I wrote about it in the book, how I screamed the two times that I was watching the TV and I saw you get injured, and how I handled the situation when you dislocated your toe while you're playing for the Giants at preseason. It's just excruciating to see your kids get hurt. The flip side is how exciting it is to see your son. It's very surreal to see a son of mine, and I had two, on the field playing at a high level in the NFL, something I grew up watching and never dreamed that I'd be that close to. And it's, that time that you and Mitchell faced off, or your teams faced off against each other in Kansas City when Mitchell was on Cleveland. What an extraordinary day. Of that, going to the Super Bowl and being with you guys at the Super Bowl and watching Mitchell. I mean, Mom and I looked at each other and we kind of pinched each other. Are we really here at a Super Bowl? So those were, those are the high points. And it was, you're right, it was the whole spectrum from the low to the high.
How much is the book going to get Mitch and I in trouble? Are there stories in there? And I think I've cleared most of them, so I don't really care. But obviously, I think that the way you viewed interactions at times with coaches or with front offices are maybe a little different than Mitch and I experienced them. Or maybe Mitch and I just didn't care as much because we knew the sport. Anything in there that's going to get us in trouble?
Nothing in trouble, I can't imagine at all, but I do talk about very clearly how the contract with the Cleveland Browns was handled with Mitchell and how terribly that was. And I do have a chapter in there called Society of Doubters, of all the people who have said to you primarily, you're never going to make it, including your offensive line coach at
Yeah,
Oregon.
I still have that list on my phone, I think.
Well, that's what I alluded to. I said, you first wrote about it. Had something in your wallet and then you put it on your phone. And so, yeah, I wrote about that. And whether that causes any grief with those that I wrote about, I'm sorry. That's the reality. That's my perception. You may disagree. Mitchell may disagree. But, the way things happened while you were in college, there were four instances of which he doubted what your capabilities were and what your likely advancement would be. And I just didn't think that was appropriate. So, but nothing to get you guys in trouble, I don't think. I mean, you'll be the arbiter of that ultimately.
Do you have a favorite son? I mean, people are going to want to know this question. They're going to ask questions. Do you have a favorite son? Is there a fa you have a fa After writing the book, is there a, did someone emerge as a favorite?
Yeah, Alex.
That's certainly fair. Alex is the best, so that's certainly
And
fair.
he's committed to read the book.
Yeah, I know. He said that he wanted my son likes to read. We bought him six books yesterday. He reads before bed. It's kind of wild. He loves to read. So I never was that way. He didn't get it from me.
Well, he read the whole Harry Potter series before he was 10 years old.
Yeah, I know. He bought another series yesterday. I don't know. He bought like four books yesterday in a series.
Good for him.
What advice would you give parents sort of going through this process now? Maybe just from the beginning, from high school, and then up to college and to the NFL.
The biggest piece of advice that I could give is be realistic about your kids' chances to play whatever sport they're excited about. give them the opportunity to play all the sports. As you know, I didn't believe in just a single sport for you guys, even though we had a lot of commentary from friends and otherwise saying, oh, just let them play football. And you played baseball and basketball, and Mitchell played baseball. I don't believe in a one sport theory. Let them try all of it. But then be very aware of what their future may hold, and don't push too hard. Make sure that they're enjoying themselves while they're playing, because if you push too hard, they get burnt out. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just be real, very realistic about what the future may hold, and let them have fun.
Yeah, I mean the thing that I stress a lot is just the idea that multiple sports. It's so funny because now that my kids are playing youth sports, the pressure on this club sports stuff is ridiculous. I mean, it's my daughter's really good and people are already like, can she do? I'm like, no, there's no. They already asked if she can do club softball. I'm like, no, there's no
Good
chance.
for
She's
you.
eight. She's not doing club softball at 8 years old. And the intense pressure, I think it's because college is so expensive, and so every edge you can get. And what's so interesting about you and mom is you guys are athletic, but you weren't college athletes. Like Mitch and I are just freak shows. There's no really rhyme or reason for why this happened, but I tell people all the time, like, your kid, not I guess in my head I think this, but like, your kid is small. Like, you just, there's some luck has to be part of it as well. Like, you Mitch and I just we're big, we're athletic, and we just sort of got lucky. All right, we'll end with this here. You can find the book, by the way, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, RaisingGiants.com, I mean, all the places that you can find a book. You can get it in Kindle. I mean, there's so many ways to read this thing. So I have a feeling that at one point I'm gonna have to take the French fries away from my daughter, which is what you had to do to me at one point,
I didn't
and
do
make
it.
it. Can you tell the story of the time, I think I was 13, that I was not allowed to eat French fries from basically 13 till college, which feels like a war crime now that I'm 38 years old. But there was a time when I was 13 and I did not eat a French fry for 4 years.
Well, I don't think that was our doing. I think, well, what happened, what how it started was, we were, after playing Saturday morning basketball, which you came to on a regular basis, our routine was to go to Burger King, the entire group, or a good part of the group, and have lunch. And we were sitting at the table. Everybody else had ordered their lunch. I brought over two trays worth of food for the three of us, which everybody was amazed at how much food was going to be consumed. And we sat down to eat, and we were sitting across one of my dear friends, who looked at you and said, no, you can't have that. And he literally took your fries away. And I think that scarred you for years after that.
Wow.
I didn't do it. It was, my friend that did it. And
I eat plenty of French fries now, so I make up for it now. But I mean, it's funny because like these little things that happen in life where you can joke about that, but really, I mean, that was important for me at that age to sort of learn, I think, as I started to get into sports, like what's good and what's bad to eat, which we is when I was going through the process of college, I mean, there was no nutritionist, there was none of that stuff. So that's like the first time in my life I ever had someone sort of explain, how to fuel your body properly. And it's different now with when I have kids. Like, I don't really care they're young, but I do try to get them to like eat certain things before and after we play sports. I don't care as much because one kid doesn't eat a lot and one eats more. And so, but I do now. Now I sort of get it now. When things happen, you're a kid, and then you get older, and you have your kids. You get why things happen. So,
Well, I got to give you credit for one thing about nutrition, while you, if you know, if you've got the time. And that is what you did between your sophomore and junior years in college. Because remember, you ballooned
I
up
was
in your
fat.
sophomore year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were fat, even though you'd show us, your stomach and say, "See how thin I am." But you blew up to some big numbers after we were promised by the recruiting staff at Oregon before you got there, how they would watch over you guys and take
No,
care of your weight.
they
They
didn't have
never
that.
did it.
No.
So if you remember, you spent that period between your sophomore and junior years losing, as I recall, about 40 pounds
Yeah,
by
40 pounds,
changing
yeah.
what you ate, by getting on the exercise bike every day on top of everything
Yeah.
else that was going on, and got yourself into condition so that your junior year, you played at a much higher level than you would have playing at the weight you were as a
Yeah.
sophomore.
Yeah, no, and what's funny is then I hurt my back that junior year, which is funny. After I lost all that weight, I hurt my back. Yeah, I mean, I every night I go do like the elliptical or the bike for like 30 minutes at the gym, at the apartment complex I was staying at. I mean, I just was so fat. My knees were starting. I remember the Holiday Bowl practices that year. My knees were hurting, and I was just like, I'm too young that my knees hurt at practice. Like this, I so I just it's like, yeah. No one told me, and there was nothing to, he couldn't do.
I
Couldn't
give
do
you a lot of
teaching.
credit for doing that because
Thank you.
it reshifted your career path. I really believe it
Oh, I mean,
did.
yeah, it probably did. I was super fat. I mean,
Yeah.
it was not great.
Right.
All right. Well, again, you can find the book, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's paperback, it's digital, raisinggiants.com. I think we covered it all. Anything else? Anything else you want to add?
Look, I could keep talking forever. I wrote a 300 plus page book, so but I appreciate it.
So go check out the book, everyone. And that's it for the podcast. We'll be back next week. We'll talk more NFL. Maybe we'll sneak in some March Madness talk along the way as well as we get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I know Matt wants to talk a little bit about that. We're doing a little bit on the side here because he's trying to figure out his bracket. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll be back next week. Take care, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jeffrey.